Press Daily Newscast for Monday, October 22nd, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. The Trump administration moves to narrow the definition of sexual identity. Also on the Monday rundown, is climate change causing a shift eastward for Tornado Alley? Plus, Election Day should find more polling places on Nevada tribal lands. Now, our top story, the Trump administration is considering narrowly defining gender as a biological, immutable condition determined by genitalia at birth. The New York Times reports that's the most drastic move yet in a government-wide effort to roll back recognition and protections of transgender people under federal civil rights law. The Times notes a series of decisions by the Obama administration loosened the legal concept of gender. Now the Department of Health and Human Services is spearheading an effort to establish a legal definition under Title IX, the federal civil rights law that bans gender discrimination in education programs that receive government financial assistance. That according to a memo obtained by the Times. More than 1.5 million Pennsylvanians still live in poverty, another 3.5 million are near poor.
The Pennsylvania Poverty Snapshot, released by the Coalition for Low-Income Pennsylvanians, or CLIP, and the Coalition on Human Needs, showed a slight decrease in poverty last year, but more than half of Pennsylvanians earning less than $20,000 a year and 40% of those earning up to $35,000 spend at least half of their income on housing alone, leaving very little for other necessities. According to Reverend Sandy Strauss, co-chair of CLIP, Pennsylvania's low minimum wage is part of the problem.
Wages have been stagnant for such a long time, and while our unemployment rate is fairly low, a lot of folks are earning less than they used to earn in terms of inflation.
The report says that in 60% of poor Pennsylvania households, one or more people work at least part-time. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
And a proposed rule from the Federal Communications Commission could cripple funding for local community media outlets. More from Eric Tegeloff.
The outlets, also known as public, educational, and government access television, make up thousands of channels across the country and broadcast a variety of content, such as distance education courses and candidate forums. Cable companies currently fund them in exchange for use of public lands to hook up consumers to their services. Under the proposal, local municipalities would have to pick up the price tag. Martin Jones, who heads Metro East Community Media in Gresham, says this could seriously hamper people's access to information.
They could destroy the ability to deliver transparency in government to everyday citizens by our government channels. When we broadcast council meetings that most people can't leave work to go to, the school board meetings, the water commission meetings, the planning commission meetings.
Under the FCC proposal, a monetary value would be assigned to them and included in what's known as a franchise fee paid by cable companies and capped at 5% of their gross revenue. The agency has argued this fee and in-kind contributions impede innovation and are a barrier to the market for cable companies.
The public can comment on this proposal through November the 15th on the FCC's website. A new study shows Tornado Alley is on the move with an increase in tornado activities heading eastward. Tremal Gomes tells us that's impacting areas more vulnerable and unprepared.
According to a study in the journal Climate and Atmospheric Science, tornadoes have been decreasing over the past few decades in typical places such as Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, but increasing in Indiana, Illinois, and the Badger State. The study's lead author is Victor Gensini, a professor of atmospheric sciences at Northern Illinois University.
It's very hard for us to say with any degree of certainty that this is due to climate change. It could just be the plains have been quieting down and other areas of the east are heating up, and this is sort of a natural cyclical cycle that will then transition back to the plains someday.
Gensini says the biggest increase in tornado activity is in states along the Mississippi River. He warns the shift could mean more fatalities as it encroaches on areas where more people live.
During the 2016 election, two Nevada Native American tribes, the Pyramid Lake Paiutes and the Walker River Paiutes, won a federal lawsuit to get voter registration sites and polling places on tribal lands. Catherine Davis-Young reports in this election, even more polling places will be available throughout Nevada's Native American communities.
Stacy Montooth, who is enrolled with the Walker River Paiute Nation and works for the Reno Sparks Indian Colony, says opening up more voting sites for Native Americans is a critical change. She says her grandmother, who is over 90 and doesn't drive, in previous elections would have to have a family member drive her more than 70 miles round trip to cast a ballot. Montooth says that's a common story in Native American families.
Part of the federal government's plan when they created reservations was to put our ancestors in isolated areas. So our relatives who are in Moapa, our relatives that are in Fort McDermott, they really, really have a challenge to get to the polling place.
A survey by the Claremont Graduate University showed that in the 2016 election, Native American communities in Nevada, which had polling places on tribal lands, saw voter turnout up to 24% higher than those that didn't.
By the way, Native Americans were not granted full citizenship in the U.S. until 1924. Nevada's home to more than 30,000 Native Americans and more than 20 federally recognized tribes. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, News and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.